This is DW News live from Berlin. Coronavirus surges back. One country after another sets new record infection rates. Germany sees its highest daily number of COVID-19 cases. So too the Czech Republic, France, the US and Poland, where the president is among those infected. Are countries paying the price for a relaxed summer? And Sudan becomes the third Arab state to set aside hostilities with Israel in recent months. The leaders of both countries have agreed to normalise ties in a deal brokered by the US president. But Palestinians feel betrayed. I'm Jared Reed. Welcome to the program. Germany has passed a worrying milestone in the coronavirus pandemic. A total of more than 10,000 people have now died from COVID-19 in Germany. This follows a sharp rise in cases in recent weeks. A new record in daily new infections has also been set in the last 24 hours, with more than 14,000 cases reported.
A grim milestone, painful for every family it has touched. Germany has become the sixth European country to reach 10,000 COVID-19 deaths. After a peak in mid-April, the daily death toll was much lower over the summer. For most of July, August and September, corona deaths in any 24-hour period were in single figures. In the last 2 weeks, the mortality rate has begun to rise sharply. But there are hopes it may not return to the level it reached earlier this year.
We had a very high death toll in the springtime, especially for the elderly. Now we have our morbidity rate is higher in the younger population, and that explains why the mortality rate is lower, because younger people do not succumb by COVID-19. They usually get sick, sometimes also very severely sick. However, they usually do not die.
Compared with some other countries, fewer people in Germany have died from the disease. The number of deaths per million of population is 120. Neighbouring France has seen more than four times that death rate. Meanwhile, China and India have reported much lower numbers of fatalities per head of population. Those figures show Germany may have dealt well with the virus so far. But infections are also rising again, more steeply than deaths. Experts are increasingly concerned as they look towards the coming months. We don't know how the infection situation will develop. We have to assume that the number of serious cases will increase and that the number of deaths will also rise. If that assumption proves correct, many more funerals will have to be held under the shadow of COVID-19.
Well, Spain has the sixth highest number of COVID-19 cases in the world. But Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez warned that the real number of those infected with the virus might be three times as high as official figures show. The second wave is putting massive pressure on Spain's hospital care, with a third of intensive care units already filled with COVID-19 patients. The government wants to avoid a new lockdown, but is not opposed to a national curfew. That would require the declaration of a state of emergency, something that Sanchez has not yet called. Earlier, I spoke to journalist Guy Hedgeco in Madrid, and I asked him why Spain is struggling so much to deal with the second wave of the pandemic.
There is a feeling that after that very strict lockdown that the country had in the spring, which did appear to work, that things were rather too relaxed afterwards, that the regional authorities in particular allowed people to try and go back to some kind of normality, perhaps too fast. There was a lot of movement over the summer, people travelling within Spain between regions. And there was a lot of contagion between different areas of the country. And there's a feeling that that may have been a problem. And also perhaps that the authorities didn't take advantage enough of that time when infections were lower in order to reinforce the healthcare service and to prepare for a second wave, which everyone seemed to be expecting to arrive at some point in the autumn.
That was Guy Hedgeko in Madrid speaking to me a little bit earlier. Here's a look at some of the other developments in the global health emergency. Poland's President Andrzej Duda has tested positive for COVID-19 as the country faces a record rise in cases. A spokesperson said Duda is feeling well. Neighbouring Czech Republic has also hit a record number of daily infections. On Friday, more than 15,000 new cases were confirmed. And Japan's government is asking businesses to extend their New Year's holidays until mid-January to let workers travel off-peak to their hometowns and holiday destinations. Well, the US too has recorded a new all-time high in daily infections, with nearly 80,000 new cases over the last 24 hours. The pandemic was the main topic of Thursday night's presidential debate and is set to dominate Donald Trump and Joe Biden's final days of campaigning.
Each white flag remembering an American who died of COVID-19. This sea of flags by artist Suzanne Brennan Furstenberg illustrates the devastating scale of the coronavirus pandemic in the United States, with over 220,000 deaths. As new infections and hospitalizations grow across the country, the crisis remains in the spotlight as the election fast approaches. After they faced off in Thursday's last presidential debate, the two candidates were back on the road for the final days of intense campaigning. At a rally in the must-win state of Florida, Trump mocked Biden's, quote, gloomy outlook for the pandemic, claiming that the U.S. was in fact approaching its end.
All Biden and his handlers in the media want to talk about today is COVID, COVID, COVID. You know that. You turn on CNN. Look, their light just went off. You turn on CNN, you turn on MSDNC, you turn on this network, there's COVID, 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 COVID. On November 4th, you won't hear anything about it because we are rounding that turn. You won't hear.
During a speech in Delaware, Biden laid out his plan to fight the coronavirus if he were to become president, a stark contrast to Trump's take on the virus.
We're more than 8 months into this crisis. And the president still doesn't have a plan. He's given up. He's quit on you. He's quit on your family. He's quit on America. He just wants us to grow numb and resigned to the horrors of this death toll and the pain it's causing so many Americans.
Biden said he would instead push for more masks and widespread testing and for a free vaccine for everyone once it is available. May God protect our family. According to polls, the response to the coronavirus pandemic is one of the most important topics for voters in these elections. Something both candidates need to keep in mind as November 3rd draws closer.
Well, Sudan has agreed to normalize relations with Israel, making it the third Arab country to establish ties with the Jewish state under brokered deals this year. Donald Trump announced the agreement on Friday. The U.S. said it will remove Sudan from the list of state sponsors of terror if Khartoum compensates U.S. victims of terrorist attacks. The Trump administration recently also brokered diplomatic ties between Israel and the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain. But the move has angered Palestinians, though Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu hailed the deal as the beginning of a new era for Israel.
Today we declare another dramatic breakthrough for peace. Another Arab country joins the circle of peace. This time it's Sudan. What a great development. In Khartoum, they adopted in 1967 the three no's of the Arab League. No to peace with Israel, no recognition of Israel, and no negotiations with Israel. Today, Khartoum is saying yes to peace with Israel, yes to recognition of Israel, and yes to normalization with Israel. This is a new era. Peace is proceeding with three Arab countries in the last few weeks.
Well, earlier I spoke to journalist Sami Sokol in Jerusalem and I asked him what impact this deal would have on international relations.
This will expand the Israeli position in the Middle East, in the Arab world, but also in Africa. Because of the location of Sudan, we're talking not only about another Arab, another Muslim country, but also about a country that is in Africa, So it will. Many countries in Africa do not have relations with Israel, and this is a big breakthrough for Israel. At the same time, there are also migrants who are living in Israel. There's a Sudanese community of some thousands of Sudanese who fled from Sudan, who escaped through Egypt to Israel. And there are asylum seekers that never got a status in Israel. And Israel is seeing this as an opportunity to expel them back to Sudan. And I can tell you many of them are very concerned. They do not trust the Sudanese government, and they feel that their life might be even in danger.
Sami, we have to look at the timing of this. The November US election is a little more than a week away. Is this a foreign policy victory for Trump?
No doubt. The Americans have been pushing to have this kind of a statement at this timing. I can tell you that the Israeli foreign ministry was not in the loop at all. The Israeli foreign minister, Gabi Ashkenazi, did not know about this development. This is a secret channel that was pushed by Trump together with Netanyahu's advisors. And they were pushing to have it as soon as possible. And the next thing that they're talking now about is Saudi Arabia. And the big question would be whether Saudi Arabia will make such an announcement ahead of the elections. That would be a big game changer here in the Middle East.
Sami Sokol in Jerusalem, it's been good to talk to you. Thank you. Here are some of the other stories making news around the world today. In Poland, tens of thousands of people protested on Friday against a court ruling that bans nearly all abortions in the country. The nation's top court ruled that abortions for fetal abnormalities violate the Polish constitution. Women's health activists have warned that the new ruling will force women to have illegal abortions or to go abroad. And anti-government protesters have clashed with police in Santiago in Chile. The unrest comes days before Chileans vote in a referendum on whether to change the country's constitution, which was written during the Pinochet dictatorship. Constitutional change was one of the key demands in a wave of protests that broke out in October last year. Authorities in Cameroon have arrested ivory smugglers who attempted to transport nearly 120 elephant tusks out of the country. The smugglers had trafficked illicit cargo from neighbouring Gabon, which is home to more than half of Africa's remaining forest elephants. To sport now in the Bundesliga. Promoted Stuttgart's strong start to the season was slightly halted in a 1-1 home draw with Cologne. The hosts took the lead in the very first minute through Aurel Mongola, a fine goal, but the winless Cologne hit back through Sebastian Anderson's penalty as the sides had to share the points. It's supposed to be the biggest derby in German football on Saturday, but Borussia Dortmund against Schalke will be a strange game in more ways than one. Only 300 fans can attend because of the coronavirus, while the two rivals sit at opposite ends of the Bundesliga table.
Schalke fans are hardy souls. Their struggling team are second bottom of the Bundesliga, and yet they still turn out for a rainy training session. This is as close as the fans will get to their side ahead of the big derby at third place Dortmund. Away supporters are not allowed at the normally sold-out game because of the coronavirus. Their presence could have been in jeopardy anyway after Schalke fans were accused of racially abusing a Dortmund player at a recent youth match. Schalke bosses are also battling major financial problems. But amid the negativity, fans could gain solace from last weekend's battling 1-1 draw against Union Berlin in coach Manuel Baum's second match in charge. It brought their first point after four games, boosting confidence for the derby. We need a good plan with and without the ball. We've got to all throw ourselves into the game, and then anything is possible. Schalke might also be buoyed by Dortmund's recent form. Last Saturday's 1-0 win at Hoffenheim only came courtesy of a late Marco Reus strike. It was followed by a 3-1 defeat at Lazio in the Champions League. A defeat like that can happen. Hopefully not very often. But the game against Schalke will be completely different, and we should be able to manage a win. Schalke will hope the opposite is the case. Their fans will never stop believing.
And you're up to date. I'll be back in 45 minutes with more news headlines.